matter who you are and all you do. It's time to move on with what you're wanting to pursue. Time for something different, time for something new. It's time to rekindle, reinvent, re-envision, revisit, renew. Now's the time to restart.
Morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. I am thrilled that our next guest is here. Longtime News Channel 13 anchor Benita Zahn's last day on the air is Friday. After more than 41 years at the station, most of it as a health reporter and anchor, she spent more than a decade as the host of HealthLink program on WMHT. She certainly has a busy sideline in local theater, earned a PhD in bioethics in 2014, and now is here to tell us about her career, television news, and yes, the very exciting next chapter.
Hi, Joe. It took all of this to get an invite. Had I known, I would have left years ago.
Yes. I don't know why that's the case. I don't know why that's the case, but it's a real pleasure to be here.
It's a delight. It really is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you this, and I don't know how this will make you feel, but I'm going to tell you anyway. When I was, let me think. This is probably 1987, so you had probably been at the station for 7-8 years, right?
Yep.
Somewhere in there. And you came and you spoke to my class at the College of St. Rose. And you were on the air, and you know I was a communications student, and you have a lot of people come and speak, and you spoke to me in a way that I will say I don't think anyone else did, because you were answering the questions that at that moment I very much had in my mind, like, what is it like to make a career in broadcasting, .. in Albany?
Mm-hmm.
What is it like when you have dreams to go elsewhere? How do you feel about being ... in Albany? How do you put up with this? How do you put up with that? How do you put up with the hours? All the very practical questions, because I had just started my job in radio, in commercial radio. And you said two things to me, to us. I think they were perhaps from my questions. I remember one of them very clearly. And I said, you know, you just think like, well, how do you become an anchor on like NBC? And at that time, you said, well, who's the anchor on the Today Show right now? It's Maria Shriver. How'd she get the job? She's a Kennedy. That's how she got the job. I thought, oh, well.
In that case, she did. Let's be clear. You know, I mean, it wasn't like Jane Pauley, who worked real hard and was at the right place at the right time. What was the other thing I answered?
The other thing that you asked is that I said, do you have ambitions to go elsewhere? And you said, I can imagine doing this at this place for a long time, but if you told me I was somewhere else in 10, 15 years, I wouldn't be surprised, because I always have a fire under me.
True.
Yeah.
And not going, the fire under me is what propelled me to get my master's and my doctorate, and now my certification as a health and wellness coach, my equity card. And I made a life here because I met a man I love.
Yeah.
And his life was here, so we stayed.
And that's the great story. But to have a career in this market for that long is really something. And I think it speaks to, well, at base level, it speaks to your enormous talent.
Thank you.
But also because we as listeners, we like you. We like to have you in our homes. We want you telling us what is going on. And so you must feel that in some way.
It's interesting. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it's a job. You put your head down, Joe,
sure,
and you go. And you hope that it's landing. You hope that you're asking the questions that you at home would be asking. And that I'm asking them, and you feel like, yeah, that's just what I wanted to know. So it's trying to be in sync with your audience. So you and I talked briefly about doing extracurricular events, you know, and seeing things, being in the community. The more you do that, the more you know the people who you are sharing the story with, the better able you are to get the information they need, they want, they can use.
That's good. I mean, that is, I mean, that's not a bad way to make a living. Right?
No, it's
That's a nice way to go through a career.
It's a lot of work, though, let me tell you. If anybody thinks you just show up, I love, you know, I used to watch the Miss America pageants, and they would stand there and go, I want to be a TV, oh, the Southern girls, I want to be a TV anchor woman. You know, they all have the big tease blonde hair, you know, and the gorgeous gown. I thought, oh, darling, with the pumps you're wearing, you wouldn't last 30 seconds. You know, we're out in the field. They pulled my highlight tape, if you will, and that was also part of staying, Joe. It was the business has clearly evolved through the years,
right.
But we went to these events. You know, we traveled, and that's really not happening now for myriad reasons. But it's not when you say you have a front row seat on history, you're there,
right?
You see it unfold,
and you have wonderful opportunities that you never would have had.
Precisely.
Without doing that. And and you're relaying that information to people who are interested and desperately need to know.
Yeah.
What has it been? So what went into the decision ultimately to say, okay, now, so the next career is capital cardiology, and you're already running, right? You already started there?
I will. The 28th of June,
okay.
I'll walk in the door there.
Oh, wow. So you got a month. Yeah.
I have a month. I really need it. First of all, I need a break. I'm tired. And everybody says, oh, you're going to be exhausted. You know, you leave one job, you're going to really want to sleep. But I still have a few hoops to jump to get my actual certification. I will be a certified health and wellness coach. A lot of people say they're wellness coaches, they're health coach. Find out what their background is. Find out what affiliations they are. Find out what tests they have taken. It goes back to about 2010 when Margaret Moore, who founded Well Coaches, which is the program that I've come through, and it turns out, who knows, right? Sometimes you get lucky, Joe, you kiss a frog and it really is a prince.
Right, yeah.
And it's the granddaddy of all these programs. And she was instrumental with a few other people to codify what this means. So we have tests we've got to take. And there's a form you follow when you do your coaching. And I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's not coaching. I'm going to work with you so you find your why.
So how does a person get to needing to find out the why? What brings them to that place?
So I'll answer it this way. Maybe you look, if you're 50 pounds overweight, you know it. If your BP is too high, you know it. If you're borderline, you know your sugar is. You know all these things, but you know, Joe, we're all the same. The minute somebody says to you, you got to lose weight, we become 10-year-olds.
Right.
You dig in your heels and you go, I'm going to go eat ice cream. Right? We know this.
You
stuff.
Feel bad and then you go and eat.
Exactly. Right. Well, I don't want you to feel bad. This is all positive psychology is what it's based on. So you know this. Let's find what you, why do you want to lose the weight? Do you want to feel better? I need to know this. And then together we'll craft a plan. We'll make goals that you believe you can achieve. And what's your strength? You know, maybe your strength is making lists. So you're going to make a list of everything you're going to do that day. And we're going to build on what you're good at so that you feel empowered to make the change in your life. You're doing it for you, not for somebody else.
So do I come to you or do
you come to me
or am I referred to you?
Because I work with Capital Cardiology, they'll make that an offer.
Yeah.
They'll say, look, you know, you can do this, or go see Benita.
Yeah.
And if you want to go see Benita, we'll make an appointment and you're going to fill out an assessment and I'm going to get a sense of your health history, things like that.
And about how many people can you coach at a time?
If you think it this way, a session lasts between 30 and 45 minutes. You want to take about 15 minutes in between to really focus on the next person coming in.
Yeah.
So do the math. How many?
Do the math. And you, I would see you how often?
Based on your need.
Oh, there you go.
So we could set up once a week early on.
Yeah.
We might set up once a month, every other week.
It Sounds a lot like my therapy.
It is in a different way.
Yeah.
It is, but in a different way. I don't have the answers. I'm going to help you find the answers.
Right.
Because you're powerful. You may have forgotten that through the years. But we all, autonomy is very tied into the bioethics, which is what the coaching really wide speaks to me.
Well, that's what got you interested in bioethics initially to say, I want to pursue this to the doctorate level?
You'll laugh. So I was looking for a master's program and I thought I would do something in nutrition.
Yep.
You know, our hours are crazy. I had to find something online. And at the time, the nutrition program at Sage wasn't online, and an MPH also spoke to me. It was not online
right
at the time. And into my mailbox came this from the Alden Marsh Bioethics Institute. And a little light bulb went off, and I said, you know, this is tangential enough, and it talks to me. And again, it comes back to autonomy.
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody want to at least believe they're the master of a little piece of their destiny?
Absolutely.
And off we were running. And then, don't laugh, but you know, one of the first things you learn, you know, one of the first case studies, if you will, is what if there's a pandemic and you've got yeah. 10,000 people who need a respirator, but you only have 1,000 respirators, how do you decide? And you're looking at helping a society continue, and then the pandemic hit, and I'm going, whoa.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I thought when I heard the news that you were leaving, I was like, well, no, we need her now more than we were in a pandemic and we're not through yet. And we need Benita. Where's she going? What's happening? I mean, for a reporter with a health beat, this has to be the golden age for you a little bit.
I hope I brought everybody through it with information.
Yeah.
Tamp down fears. And I'm going to come back to that word empowerment. I hope that with enough information, I helped empower you to make your best choices during this crazy time.
When you think, Benita Zahn is our guest, and as we mentioned at the beginning, her last day is Friday on the air at WNYT. You know, I think, I hope I'm not going to hurt anybody's feelings here, but, you know, for those of us in the news business and in journalism in this region, Channel 13 has always been the gold standard. You know,
it wasn't when I showed up here.
Really?
We were, as my GM said yesterday, we were number 4 in the 3 TV market.
Were you there before Ed?
Yes.
Okay, so Ed was over on Channel 6.
Right. We were. I came for the rebuilding.
Yep.
Wilson Hall was our anchor. And Wilson had been a celebrated newsman in radio with NBC.
Yeah.
And he'd be fun. You'd play cards with him on Saturday. He'd get a game together. He'd go, oh, this hand reminds me of a hand in Amman in 57. And the sheikh was sitting to my right. I mean, and he would never, if you needed money, he would never lend you less than $20. Because if you asked for $5, you sounded like a piker. But nobody has a problem saying you owe me $20.
That's right. Good deal. So then they rebuilt, and obviously Ed Daig was a great part of that.
Yes.
And you had Ed, and you had Chris Capostasi, now Chris Jansing,
mm-hmm.
and Herb Stevens, mm-hmm. and Norm Sebastian, and then you're in that mix.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. and those are really, I mean, that's the golden age right there. That
yeah.
is really good stuff.
Yeah.
And that's when you started going up in the ratings, and really everything came together.
Surely. We had the right team at the right time with the right work ethic, with the right message. And we were off and running.
Yeah. What does that culturally say, do you think, about the place? I mean, in the sense that you all have that, and it's sort of the mantra of the place.
You know, I think they put together a team, whether they realized it or not, where everybody said, give me the ball.
Yeah.
And I'll take you back to the Challenger explosion.
1986?
Yes. And we're at work, and everybody's watching the takeoff, and it blows up.
Yeah.
And there's a moment, and nobody talks, and they play it again. By the third replay, we are all peeling off, knowing what we're going to do.
Right.
We're not waiting for someone to tell us. I went out to Schoharie County, if I'm not mistaken. One of the payload specialists was from there,
mm-hmm.
and his mom was still out there. And we knew this because we had done preview stories. I got in the car with a photographer, and we found her. and we went to his high school. So I knew that was a story. You know, but we all just did that. And I would say, so let's say it blew up at 11. By 11:30, the newsroom had emptied out. We were all on the road.
You knew what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a wonderful thing. And that, I mean, that's lightning in a bottle, though.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Moran was still working with us at the time.
Yeah.
Another great journalist. And we did. It was lightning in a bottle. It was thrilling.
So did you, in talking to a lot of journalists over the years, and sure, I'll include myself in this company, but, you know, you always assume you never get too comfortable. I was always told from the very beginning, you know, don't put too many pictures on your desk because you don't want to make it too painful when you put the box together and you have to go out to the car. People turn over very, very quickly in this business. Did you ever have that? Did you ever feel secure like, oh, today I won't get fired?
You put it out of mind. It's a given.
Right. It could happen at any time.
It's just a given. Right. The sun's going to come up.
Right.
It could happen.
Yes.
And then you go on. Because if you prevaricate on that, you become frozen.
Back to the therapy. Yeah.
Joe will talk. I'll give you a session, darling.
But it's interesting because...
But you got to bring coffee.
Absolutely. what do you put in a coffee for a health coach? Let me ask this
I'm going to tell you. A little bit of half and half. That's my treat.
Okay, good. Let me say then, so do you ever then feel comfortable in the sense of, all right, I'm owning this. This is my place. This is where I am. I'm not looking over my shoulder. I'm not worried about ratings. I'm not worried about who they're going to replace me with.
Are you on drugs?
Right. Well, that's the question.
No,
right?
you always think that. You know, but you have to check it at the door. Otherwise, you can't perform. But on the flip side, that pressures you to perform at your best.
Yes.
But you see, it's a push me, pull me.
Absolutely. Because I remember going back to when you spoke to our class of you saying, when the blonde walks in, you immediately think she's going to replace you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I became the blonde, so it all worked out.
Back to lightning in a bottle. But that's very cool. But so there has to be, after 41 years, a feeling of, well, all right, I survived it. Like that, I won. I win. I'm leaving on my terms.
That's the win. When you can walk out of anything on your terms and look back at a body of work and say, I helped people.
Yeah.
I hit the mark. That is success.
Now, there has been a lot in our local press of the exodus of people leaving. And is that just the... is that a manufactured story in the sense of a coincidence?
You know, I said to Steve Barnes, life happens. Jim Cambrick left because his wife took a job in New York City.
Yeah.
Then Karen Terarachi left. She had an opportunity to do something that would give her better balance in home life. She has two young, most adorable kids. I left because this opportunity showed up at the right time. And I fell in love with the coaching. This was not going to be an exit. This is something I wanted to do for a long time, to study this. I thought, just like my master's and doctorate, it would augment my health reporting.
Yes.
And then I kept putting it off for years because I was blessed to get great roles acting.
Right.
And then the pandemic hit and I couldn't. That wasn't acting. I didn't have to drive an hour each way to rehearsals. I had time. Acting was now on Zoom. Three rehearsals, sit down, get it done. So I had time. So I said, you know, if ever I'm going to do this, let's try it now. And then I fell in love with it.
And you're not considering it, God forbid, retirement?
No, do not use the R word around me.
Yeah.
And I want to act more, you know.
Yeah.
I told the folks at Capital Cardiology, I'm looking at working 3 days a week. You know, they did the same thing. I made my husband promise me I won't overbook myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you know me, that's going to be, but because I'd love to do more acting. World out there, if you hear me, I want to do more acting. And if anybody's casting something great for Come From Away, I'm your girl.
So I find this fascinating because I love theater. I adore theater. I've seen theater my entire life. My mother, you know, and I went to plays when I was a toddler. And God, when Broadway was open, I was down in the city more than I was here. But I never wanted to be an actor because I like the idea of being in a room all by myself talking to people from afar.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is it? Do you have you analyzed it to the point of what it is? Because acting can often be solitary as well, because once you turn out those lights, you don't see those people out there.
So, but you feel them.
Yeah.
So it's mining the depths of a character, understanding what makes that character tick, how they interact with others. It's that study. And then when you step out on stage and you have the ability to transport people, if you've walked in and life is bad on the outside, I'm going to take you away from that. It's healing. If life is good, maybe I can attenuate that happiness. Again, there's a healing and there's a community that's established. Oh.
And if you're talking to that parent whose child was working on the Challenger and you transport us at home, you don't know it. Whereas if on stage, you feel it.
Right. You try to hear the audience when you're on TV. I had an old coach say to me once, when you're anchoring, as you're anchoring, you have to be thinking, do you get it? Meaning you, the audience.
Yeah.
So a lot of people can read copy, but to really convey the message of the copy, you have to understand what you're reading, know the story,
right,
and ask, do you get it?
Yes.
So yes, it's much more immediate in the theater. You can feel him, you can smell him, it's there. You know if you've connected. When the audience isn't breathing, Joe.
Yeah.
I had that experience as an audience member watching the basic training of Pavlo Hummel with, come on, Benita, it'll come to me. I can see him in front of me. The Scent of a Woman. This is
Al Pacino. Al Pacino.
Right.
Yeah.
This is, I always joke. I'll describe everything about somebody, but I can't give you the name. And I remember being an audience member then, and I don't think anybody was breathing. And I thought, oh my God, to be able to share that.
Yeah. You know, I love interviewing broadcasters because they always have one eye on the clock, and that like takes away half my job, so that's really good. So we're almost out of time. Let me ask you this. Do you feel like you're leaving the place in good hands?
Of course. That's a great crew there. It really is.
And Mark and I went to college. Yeah, together. Yeah,
I'm having so much fun anchoring with Mark.
Mark is great.
Yeah, he is.
And
it's his second go around there.
I know. That's really good.
So we know each other from way back.
That's good. Well, Benita, we wish you all the luck in the world. Your last
day
on the air is at News Channel 13 is Friday. I assume it will be very lovely, and they'll do a beautiful job.
I sure hope so. And it's been a delight to spend time with you, Joe.
I thank you so much for accepting the invitation. Thank you very much.
All best to you.
Again, Benita Zahn's last day, Friday on News Channel 13. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.